Good morning. This morning, Sheila read 1 Corinthians 10:13, and 10:13 talks about no temptation has overtaken you except such as common to man. But this sermon is also about trials. I think it's mostly about temptations, but it's also about trials. So I wanted to read with you James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." And then it goes on about asking in faith, for let not one man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord if he doesn't ask in faith. So this morning I want to talk to you about temptations and about trials, but it's mostly about temptations. We all go through trials, we all have temptations. And I spoke to someone this week at work, and they had have accepted the Lord, and they were under the impression that nothing was ever going to happen to them. Can any of you testify to that? Joe? And I thought, well, maybe there are people that think that. But, you know, that's dangerous to think that. So I wanted to share with you today about this temptations and trials. But I want to start with a little story from the book I always read out of, The Signs of the Times. And it's called Niagara Man Slips on Orange Peel. Stuart Anderson, in Preaching on Temptation, reminds us that Bobby Leach, the Englishman, startled the world by going down over Niagara Falls in a barrel without suffering serious harm. Some years later, he was walking down the street, slipped on an orange peel, and was taken to the hospital with a badly fractured leg. Mr. Anderson adds, "Some great temptations which war around us like Niagara may leave us unharmed, but a little insignificant incident may cause our downfall if we're not looking for it." And that's what temptations do. Often in our Christian walk, we are confronted with temptations and trials. How we react may vary. Sometimes we think that God is allowing us to suffer too much. Have you ever felt that way? You ever cried out, "Why me, Lord?" And then sometimes we may believe that we're suffering unfairly. And I've felt that way before. If you go to church and you send your kids to church school and you pay your tithe and you give Bible studies and then something still happens, you're thinking, what in the world's going on here? But you know, they come to everybody, trials and temptations. Occasionally we may feel that God is far from us and that there's no way out. At these moments when we face temptation, it is important to remember that God remains faithful. In 1 Corinthians 10:13 that Sheila read this morning, it says, "No temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man." Paul is reminding the Corinthian believers that they should not think that just because they live an upright life, conditions will always be favorable. The reality is that they would face difficulties. Their trials and temptations would not be fewer than those experienced by their neighbors. The same is true for us. If you're under the impression this morning that just because you love God, then everything's going to run smooth, you're in for a great deal of disappointment and maybe even a turning away from the Lord. And that might seem impossible, but if you believe that God's going to protect you from everything, every trial, every temptation, and then all of a sudden you're assailed with them, then you might say, well, the Lord doesn't care about me, and then just walk away. And that's not true. The good news is that God puts a limit on temptation. In 1 Corinthians 10:13, it went on to say, God will not allow us to be tempted beyond what we're able. Christians can rejoice knowing that the God in whom they trust will not allow the enemy to tempt them beyond their strength. It is not God's desire that human beings suffer. He does not cause temptation, according to James 1:13, but God may use circumstances to develop a person's character according to his divine will. When we are tempted, we should remember that God is not causing the temptation, but as he allows it, he can use the situation for spiritual growth. For we know God will never allow temptations to be stronger than he will allow the strength to give us the strength in order to overcome them. In 1 Corinthians 13, it also goes on to say, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The phrase a way of escape indicates that for every temptation, God will provide a way out. This way out is not a way to avoid temptation, but by being grounded in God's word, we can avoid being overcome by sin. Although God allows us to face trials and temptations, he prepares the way in which we can obtain victory and avoid sin. Jesus, our perfect example, found his way out in the word of God. If you look in Luke chapter 4, verses 4, 8, and 12, when Christ was tempted, he answered, "It is written." So he used the word of God to escape his temptations. Christ followers may also rest in the assurance that they can escape the tempter's snare by building a deep relationship with the Lord. There is no need for us to be overcome by Satan's temptations. We have assurance in the word of God that heavenly assistance is given to everyone who strives to overcome. In the Spirit of Prophecy says in Ministry of Healing, page 181, all the temptations Christ met with the word of God, by trusting in God's promises, he received power to obey God's commandments, and the tempter could gain no advantage. To every temptation, his answer was, "It is written." So God has given us his word wherewith to resist evil. So, and you know, each of us, if you're not studying the Bible, then that might be a problem. I mean, if you don't have anything to fall back on, then you need to be diving in the Word of God and studying it. Because how your spouse feels or how your church member feels, if they've got a relationship, you can't really relate to that. And you know, in order for the Christ to work with you, you have to work with Christ and see what it is he's trying to tell us. We have seen that through the Word of God, we may find strength to resist temptation. When God promises that he will give us a way out, there are two biblical truths that we cannot forget. If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. This is the first of the biblical truths. Matthew 17, I want to read verses 14 through 18. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, "Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him." Then Jesus answered and said, "O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me." And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. This is the first biblical truth. Sometimes God chooses to help us by a miracle, to instantly free us from temptation or tribulation, thus answering our prayer. But God has another way out, and it's found in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12 and verses 9 and 10. And there it says, "And he said to me, 'My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. The miracle of strengthening us to face the temptation and survive the difficulty trials of our life is the second way that God answers that prayer. In the book, God's Amazing Grace, Mrs. White says, Christ has made it possible for every member of the human family to resist temptation. All who would live godly lives may overcome as Christ overcame. And that's a promise you can hang on to. Sometimes we're tempted to think that just because we believe in God, we should not face difficulties, or that they should miraculously disappear when we call on the name of the Lord. But the reality is that everyone, Christians and non-Christians, face problems and they face temptations. How do these two groups differ in their response, or do they? Does being a Christian make a difference? It should. The difference is we have a God that is faithful even in the midst of trials and temptation, a God who will provide a way for us to bear anything that comes our way. And not only do we have God, but we also have one another. If you'll turn to Galatians chapter 6, God would be enough, but oftentimes he uses us, which is a blessing, to help others. Galatians chapter 6 and verses 1 and 2, it says, Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burden, and so fulfill the law of God. By helping others, we fulfill the law of Christ. We show Christ to the world by acting, by behaving like Christ. In that same book, God's Amazing Grace, page 81, Mrs. White says, Summon all your powers to look up, not down at your difficulties. Then you will never faint by the way. You will soon see Jesus behind the cloud, reaching out his hand to help you. And all you have to do is give your hand in simple faith and let him lead you. She goes on to say, A great name among men is as letters traced in sand, but a spotless character will endure to all eternity. God gives you intelligence and a reasoning mind, whereby you may grasp his promises. Jesus is ready to help you in forming a strong, symmetrical character. God is always faithful, even in the midst of temptation. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able. Through his word, he gives us victory after victory as we walk with him. And that's the true test. Will you let God lead you? I know it's hard sometimes to give up on self. You think, I can do this. But you, according to the scriptures, you can't do anything without the Lord. And so each of us need the Lord. You can't do it. I can't do it. But Jesus can. I once learned a lesson from a dog we had. My father used to put a bit of meat on a biscuit on the floor near the dog and say no. And the dog knew he must not touch it, but he never looked at the meat. He seemed to feel that if he did so, the temptation to disobey would be too great. So he looked steadfastly at my father's face. And there is a lesson for us all. Always look up to the master's face. In her book, The Faith I Live By, page 23, Mrs. White tells us, every promise in God's word is ours. When assailed by temptation, look not to circumstances or to the weakness of self, but to the power of the word. All its strength is yours. I want to leave you with two things this morning. The first is found in James 1, and that was the one that I just read about the trials, about us helping one another. And you know, God uses trials. I'm sure any of you, most of you, all of you have been through trials. And he uses us, the scripture tells us not to be concerned about the fiery trials that'll try us, because God's trying to perfect our character to get us ready for the kingdom. So we go through trials, and God allows those in order to perfect us. He doesn't leave one rock unturned when it comes to our salvation. And the last thing I want to leave you with is a quote from My Life Today. Temptation, once resisted, will give power to more firmly resist the second time. Every new victory gained over self will smooth the way for higher and nobler triumphs. May God continue to bless every one of you as you fight the good fight of faith.